new experiment today. Stephen Roche has recorded my sermon, or I recorded it, and he's taking it on a stick to Loxbier to play on the television. So we'll see if that works. Oh dear, we're getting high tech here. Just before we start, I expect some of you know this already, but if you don't, a bit of sad news, I'm afraid, especially for St. Peter's people. Mary Seton died last night, and we're so sad about that. And obviously, what a wonderful woman, and to thank God for her. Sorry, I wanted to say that now so that you, when we got to the prayers, you weren't suddenly surprised by that piece of news that you didn't know. So today is the third Sunday before Lent. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Your light springs up for the righteous, and all the peoples have seen your glory. And the collect for the third Sunday before Lent. Almighty God, who alone can bring order to the unruly wills and passions of sinful humanity, give your people grace so to love what you command and to desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys can be found, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, and the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And we say this verses from Psalm 112, and we begin by saying the refrain together. The righteous will be held in everlasting remembrance. Alleluia. Blessed are those who fear the Lord and have great delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land, a generation of the faithful that will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness endures forever. Light shines in the darkness for the upright. Gracious and full of compassion are the righteous. It goes well with those who are generous in lending and order their affairs with justice, for they will never be shaken. The righteous will be held in everlasting remembrance. They will not be afraid of any evil tidings. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. The righteous will be held in everlasting remembrance. Their heart is sustained and will not fear until they see the downfall of their woes. They have given freely to the poor. Their righteousness stands fast forever. Their heads will be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be angry. They shall gnash their teeth with despair. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The righteous will be held in everlasting remembrance. Generous God, save us from the meanness that calculates its interest and hoards its earthly gain. As we have freely received, so may we freely give, in the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Lord, help us to hear your word and to speak it. Help us to know your truth and to show it. Help us to feel your love and to share it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Our first reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, who knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God? What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our responsory are verses from Colossians 3. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, and Christ shall give you light. When Christ, our life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Our second reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning at the 13th verse. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, Anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Last week in our gospel reading, which was from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Happy are those who seek God and put his kingdom first. Jesus continues his teaching by describing the effects that living a kingdom lifestyle will have on the whole of society. Jesus is talking specifically to his disciples at this point. They are gathered round him as he sits on the hillside. They have decided to follow Jesus, and they have left everything to do so. As disciples of Jesus Christ, they have taken on the new values of the kingdom of heaven, and therefore they should stand out. They should be different from those around them. They are creating a unique alternative community. And Jesus uses two metaphors to describe how they should be. They are to be salt and light. It is not good enough just to believe. True disciples of Jesus Christ must show what they believe by what they say and what they do. If we call ourselves disciples, then we must be like salt. Salt is a preservative. It enhances the flavor of things. It is a cleanser and a disinfectant. In ancient days, it would have been essential to stop meat from rotting. It also had several symbolic associations. It was a sign of purity, of necessity, of loyalty, of peace, of good speech, and of wisdom. For thousands of years, salt represented wealth. Soldiers were paid in salt. Evil spirits were warded off by salt. For the Romans, a man who was in love was in a salted state. We really can't live without it. This metaphor was loaded. In a French folktale, a princess tells her father that she loves him like salt. He is angry and considers what she has said as a slight, and he banishes her. But when he is denied salt, he realizes its value and therefore the depth of her love for him. We are to be like salt. We look for the good. We are to watch what we say and how we say it. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, Paul says to the Colossians. We are to try and think the best of everyone, wanting good things for the people around us, building people up, not knocking them down, healing, restoring, giving, and loving. And to be honest, it doesn't always come naturally. And Jesus has a warning for us. If salt loses its flavor, it's useless. It loses all its life-giving qualities. The only thing for it is to chuck it out. When Jesus stood on the side of the mountain and told his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth," he was paying them a huge compliment, which was also a challenge. He literally says, "You, yes, you. You and only you are the salt of the earth. Yes, you standing there, you and only you are the light of the world. What a thing to say to that motley gang of disciples. And what a thing to say to us. It's another reminder once again of the upside down nature of the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit get the kingdom. The meek inherit the earth. The hungry and the thirsty are satisfied. And those who mourn are comforted. Jesus' teaching would suggest that being a disciple can change us, not only for our own benefit, but for the good of those around us. And we have to work at it, to persevere with it. Otherwise, we lose our characteristic nature of being a follower of Jesus, and then we are no longer distinctive. People don't recognize us as being a disciple. I have found myself wondering whether people would guess that I'm a Christian, obviously not just when I'm wearing my dog collar, or whether that would come as a surprise. How and when does losing your saltiness happen? When we become complacent? When we fail to remember our poverty of spirit? When we stop seeking justice and mercy? Salt transforms the things it is mixed with. So we are to transform the world in which we live, bringing the light of Jesus with us wherever we go. Jesus is saying in his Sermon on the Mount that it is vitally important to engage and mix with the whole of society, bringing our distinctive Christian presence to those around us. I wonder whether my friends and neighbours consider me to be of great symbolic value. Do they consider me to be a necessity of life? Do they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven? Or have we become bland and flavourless? In Jesus' words, when salt is no longer salty, it must be thrown out. And the Greek word for good for nothing or becoming insipid literally means to become foolish. And that's what the Beatitudes are all about. We are not out to be different for the sake of being different. Our aim is to live life in an intimate relationship with Jesus, and that will make us different. And sometimes that isn't easy, and sometimes people don't like it. Jesus says that we are also to be light, not just a light for ourselves, but a light for the whole world. There is no point in having a light if it can't be seen. Houses in the days when Jesus lived were very dark. They only had one tiny window. The lamp was like a gravy boat or a squat teapot, which was filled with oil and had a wick floating in it. In the days long before matches or lighters were invented, it was not so easy to relight a lamp once it was lit. When people were at home, they would put the light on a stand so it would light the whole house. But when they went out, for safety's sake, they would take it down and put it under an earthen bushel measure so that it could burn without risk until they returned. The reason to have a lamp was for it to be seen. And so the reason for being a disciple of Jesus Christ is so that we can be seen. As someone once said, there can be no such thing as secret discipleship, for either the secrecy destroys the discipleship or the discipleship destroys the secrecy. Our faith, our love for Jesus should be evident to everyone, not just within the church, but to everyone. When we go shopping, when we are at work, with our friends, down the pub, playing golf, or waiting in a queue. Jesus didn't say, you are the light of the church. He said, you are the light of the world. A light is also a guide. I love it when flying into an airport at night. You can see a myriad of different lights, towns, villages, along the coast, and then suddenly a pattern emerges, and you can see the lights creating a path, illuminating the runway, showing the safe place to land. As followers of Jesus, the way we live points the way to Jesus, to his love, his forgiveness, and his goodness. When we are baptized, we are told to shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father. We shine as individuals, but we shine more effectively together. We are a city on a hill. We are a light in the darkness. Jesus living in us can change the world. May our lives reflect the light of Jesus Christ, and may the light of Jesus be seen in us, pointing the way to God's truth and light. Amen.
And so shall we pray together. Loving God, this week has seen a lot of unrest. Millions of people have faced disruption, either through being on strike or because of the strikes. We pray for calm resolution, fair and just settlements, genuine engagement from all sides in the negotiations, and for people to listen and find empathy for each other. Loving God, revitalize our communities and bring hope and light. Father God, 3 years on from Brexit, and we are still aware of the vast gulfs between the different sides in the debate. We pray that as your people, we would seek to be those who bring reconciliation and healing, to show support where needed and kindness to others, even when they may hold views very different from ours. Help us to view everyone we encounter as a child of God and to engage with others as precious beings in your creation. Father God, revitalize our communities and bring hope and light. Dear Lord, as the half term begins for many children and young people, either this week or next week, we pray that they would be refreshed by time away from school and energized for the term ahead. We are well aware of the issues young people face as they grow up in 2023, the difficulties associated with social media platforms, the increase in anxiety and mental health problems, and the problems associated with trying to access services and professional help. But you, Lord, bring light into the darkness. You are with all of us in our day-to-day difficulties, temptations, and worries. Please help our children and young people to find fullness in you. Help our children and young people to know what is good and pure, and to turn towards your light. Dear Lord, revitalize our communities and bring hope and light. God of all, we pray for the communities we live in and the communities across this world that we are associated with. We pray for the people we encounter in our villages, towns, and cities, for colleagues, friends, and neighbours, for those who are suffering and those who are unwell. We pray for those known to us who are unwell, Jack, Brenda, Olivia, Cynthia, Jackie, Mary, Henrietta, Tony, Donald, Diana, Roman, Ruth, Mike, Bob, Keith, Janice, Georgie, Reg. And we pray for the families and friends of those who have recently died. Edith Murphy, Mary Seaton. For those who are finding the cost of living hard to bear, and for those who want for nothing, for those we like and those we don't, for the leaders and those who are led, for the powerful and the powerless, for everyone we encounter in our daily lives, we pray for them all and ask that you bring your transformation and divine peace. God of all, revitalize our communities and bring hope and light. And we pray as our Saviour taught us, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us and those we love and pray for today and always. Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, everybody, very much for joining us this morning. Oh, lovely picture of Venice there. Dawn will be leading the service here next week. And I've already written the sermon for that. She'll be reading that out. So have a good time with Dawn. And I think it might be Liz Haywards. Anyways, two people here doing this next week. And the service sheet Steve will send out towards the end of the week. Just to let you know that the X Valley lunch isn't on Monday, it's on Thursday, if you would like to join that at Oakford. And I believe sausages are involved. Have a lovely day and a good week ahead, and God bless you all.